Hey, it's Cher from My Life in Sound. I've been a fan of Soraya for years since I first heard their fierce lead singer Zuzu's voice. Soraya is a band who thrives live, making their audience a vital part of their shows and brings you an electrified, renewed energy with each live performance. When their tour came to a halt before quarantine, they brought that same energy to create live streams, cover videos, and glimpses of new music, including their new single, Tight Lipped. This supercharged rock anthem is currently climbing the Billboard charts, and we can't get enough of the new music video for the song. We sat down with Zuzu from Soraya, My Life in Sound photographer Shannon, and Soraya's music video director, Sam Shapson, to discuss the making of the new music video and what Soraya has been up to this year. Let's start with Zuzu. How has Soraya worked through this past year?
Well, we were on tour for our new album coming out in March of last year. The week the pandemic hit was actually our release week. We were already on West Coast heading to Vegas, and we had to go home. We realized we still had an album to promote, and we just started doing weekly Facebook Lives with the whole band, and it kept us connected with our fans and stuff. We started doing some things at Bowery Electric for Save Our Stages. That also helped our venues that we play stay open, not just ours, but everybody started doing that. With our live streams, we've reached a screeching halt. We don't know what to do anymore. We're like, well, we did it on this platform. We did it with this venue. We did it on this platform. We tried it like this. You're still not getting that feedback you need as a performer. If nothing else, we're so ready to go back out. And when we go back out, it's just going to be so great.
Yeah, but it's great that you got to play in a venue again, even though it was in a different capacity. Luckily, the Joan Jett show that Soraya is set to open was rescheduled for the fall. Are you guys excited for that to be one of your first shows back?
Yeah, I'm excited about it. You know, the last we left it with Joan and Kenny and Merrill, who were really just, that's the family, that's Blackheart Records. They were going to give us a bunch of dates. And they said, when the pandemic's over, we'll give you a bunch of dates. But we're waiting because who knows? Like right now it's in November and we're really looking forward to it. But all her other stuff is moved to like the bigger shows. And so we have to wait.
Yeah. And doing all of these like cover sessions and live sessions and just kind of starting the creative process up with the band again, did that influence the writing of Tight Lipped at all?
Tight Lipped was written before the pandemic, actually. Like January, we started writing it. In February, we finished. Normally we take it out on the road and we play it and we get feedback. You know, when there's a live audience, you try things that you wouldn't try in a rehearsal room. We didn't have that vital time with it, which is why we waited to record it till September. We were actually the first band that went in to record at that studio. It came out great, so we're happy. We're proud of it. It was just a different process in how we pre-produced it.
Yes, it must have been amazing to meet and work with other people again in this capacity and to make and perform in the music video for Tight Lipped. How did you meet your music video director, Sam, and start developing the video?
To be honest, I have to give Ashley credit for all that. Ashley called me in the summertime and was just telling me how amazing this team she was working with on this short film was. We just connected and she's like, you know, we should make a video. I really want to make a video. And we had just made one. Like the week the pandemic hit, we were in LA and we did a video that week too with her and her other team. And I was kind of like not even there. I wasn't even mentally, you know, because we hadn't even recorded the song. We weren't even knowing when we were going in to record it. I think it was like around October when I finally was like, you know what? It was like probably the fifth time she brought it up. I'm not even lying. And it wasn't out of not wanting to. It was just being like, I don't know what's happening. Like, I don't know what the next thing really is. And I was just like, all right, let me just see if I can get like some stuff together and make it happen. And I ended up having a meeting the next day and it was like, everything just flowed. So I called her, I said, yeah, let's do it. And then she put me in touch with Sam. We did a three-way call. And right away when I talked to Sam, I heard his vision. He had a commitment. He was serious, which I hadn't experienced before. I'm drawn to that because I want everything to always be better and better. And I'm a big narrative person, so I love to honor the story of what's going on in the song. I write that way. I can't help it.
We are super stoked to have Sam, the music video director, here. And My Life in Sound photographer Shannon is here with some questions about the music video for Soraya's new song, Tight Lipped. Shannon, do you want to start with your questions for Sam?
Yeah, absolutely. Sam, can you take us through your initial thoughts and visions when you first listened to Tight-Lipped?
Absolutely. When I first heard the song, it was sent to me by Ashley Otis, who's the producer on the music video. She's the one who set it up. She was very persistent and following up with me and mentioning this band and saying, like, there's a song, it's coming. And I would check in now and then and be like, hey, is the song available for me to listen to? She goes, oh, very soon. It'll be ready really soon. I sat down and I listened to it. And the first thing that I did was I just tried not to like force any images. I tried to not like conceptualize anything. Then I wanted to dive deeper into the lyrics. I don't know if others are like this, but I have trouble listening to the lyrics the first time around with a song. I only take it in from like an aesthetic perspective. So hearing the chorus stood out to me aesthetically. And then after that, when I dove into the lyrics, I started hearing these references to things that I wasn't super familiar with, but Ophelia stood out to me. And I was like, is that mythology or is that Shakespeare? And it turned out to be Shakespeare. And then I read the references to that poem, The Tiger, by, I forget, Zuzu, who is that by?
William Blake.
William Blake, that's right. And so I read that poem, and that's when it really started to click for me, because I had an aesthetic sense of where we were going with it. But when I connected the thread of Ophelia to the thread of Tiger, Tiger, Burning Brighter, that's when I started to feel like I was diving into something that had a little more psychological weight to it. I want to find something about the human experience that's being spoken to through a metaphorical and aesthetic way. Once I started to get that foothold, that's when I really started to get a feeling for the direction I wanted to go with it. I started texting with Ashley about it, and she threw out the idea, a really simple idea, which was an interrogation. And I thought about that, and I was like, okay, what is making her say interrogation? Why is that resonating with her about it? And as I explored that further, connecting it to the sort of struggle that I was detecting in the music that was being sent through the lyrics, that's when it started to really resonate with me, this sense of struggle against an oppressor, the sense of struggle against maybe even a part of yourself. Once I had that, that's when it all started to kind of flow together. I started scribbling out ideas, which eventually became something that I roughly pitched to Zuzu over the phone. I fleshed it out, showed her a treatment, and we were going from there.
Great. Thank you. So it sounds like the influence of Ophelia from Hamlet, and then, like you were saying, the poem kind of inspired the storyline behind the video. Is there anything else that inspired the actual story that we see in Tight-Lipped?
Sure. So once I had that foothold for where she was coming from with it, I needed to find something that I could connect to. There'd been kind of a couple of films that I'd been wanting to create a project that could sort of do homage to or follow in the footsteps of. And one of those was Green Room, which if you haven't seen it, I would strongly recommend checking it out if you've got the stomach for a bit of violence. It's a really, really aesthetically gorgeous film. It's brutally violent, but the characters and the realism of the scenario is what makes it so horrific. I'm not such a fan of suspense for suspense sake. I'm not such a fan of violence for violence sake, but I am a fan of showing the human condition in its most extreme contexts, which Green Room does such an excellent job. It's just expertly crafted. Another one that stood out to me was the film You're Next. Both of these are what I would call contained thrillers. And I call them contained thrillers because they take place in a mostly singular context. The hero is confined to one general area or one room, and the oppressor is either the one controlling them into that space or trying to get into that space to get to them. That sort of clean dynamic is something that I've always been really drawn to, especially from the perspective of a young filmmaker who needs to work within a budget, work within restrictions, which we very much needed to do. So I thought, okay, can I craft a very simple, clean, contained thriller that follows in those sorts of aesthetics, but also fundamentally speaks in a metaphorical sense to the struggle that's expressed through the music. And hopefully the viewer can not just detect the connection between them, but can also see how they exist as their own two separate pieces, which sort of echo each other and rhyme, you know, narratively, but they're not an on-the-nose expression of what's in the music.
Yeah, you did an incredible job of capturing that essence of a thriller. And so when I first watched it, I just, you can ask Zuzu, I sent her like a live reaction of my response to the video. And I like lost my breath at the last scene. Like I was like, I had to catch it. So can you tell us a little bit about your directing style, how you created that essence of a thriller so well?
Well, thank you so much for saying that. Zuzu actually, I don't know if she told you this, but she sent me that reaction video. And that meant so much to me.
She did not tell me that.
It was just so genuine, such a genuine response. And it meant so much to me because it's not often that I get to see into, you know, to see that sort of reaction to my work. A lot of times people are very... They retain their experience internally. And so very often as a filmmaker, you find yourself, and it's probably the same for most art, you find yourself kind of putting out everything you can as much as you can and trying to just reach across the medium to the viewer to create an experience. You know, you want to craft it, but you also know it's going to become their own. And it's just kind of this black unknown box that you can't access. I am a big believer in, subtlety of performance, and I'm still trying to get better at it. I think I have a lot of room to grow in this regard, but I'm always trying to find what is the simplest, quietest way I can dial down the emotional performance so that the viewer clearly gets where the performance is coming from and what it's expressing, but also it does it in such an understated way that the viewer feels like they can give themselves to the film. Working with Zuzu, who did an excellent job taking direction to find those simple, subtle little moments, was really key. And then the other thing that I went for with this particular project was a very controlled, almost classic cinema style from a thriller that required working on a dolly with very controlled moves, a lot of very deliberate moments where we push in or we pull back, which are two of the most powerful moves in camera language. They're used all over the place, the push in and the pull back at the right moment. Seems to be one of those rare things in film that no matter how often it's done, it doesn't get old if you do it at the right time. Working with my DP to craft that very controlled cinema language where we're using angle and camera movement in very subtle but deliberate ways to progress the story forward was another thing that I think really, really worked with the visual storytelling.
Yeah, how you created that thriller aspect or essence. Can you tell us what you were looking for when you were scouting for locations?
Sure. So when I was coming up with the concept, I was trying to come up with an idea that was like two characters in a room, a dark, concrete, cavernous space. There's got to be those all over LA. Well, as it turns out, they're not. We found a different location on Pier Space, which was sort of a basement of a warehouse. And we went to go check it out, and it just wasn't quite working. It was too open. It wasn't the right look. What we did was we sort of told the guy who was showing us the location about the video and what we were going for. And he kind of had that sort of like pandemic boredom vibe going on to him. So I was like, okay, if I can like feed him a little more, maybe he can help brainstorm with us. He started thinking and he showed us some pictures. There was one image of a refrigerator, an industrial refrigerator. And I was like, Ashley, let's get him to show us this. So we convinced him to drive with us. And when we checked it out, I was like, oh my God, this is not at all what I pictured. I was looking for like concrete, like down in some, you know, industrial dungeon type location or like the back of a facility, like some hidden room. It was also a very unique space. Like how often do you see an industrial refrigerator with wooden walls in some abandoned factory with like a vault door? And then the other benefit to this that I wasn't necessarily expecting was that what came with the rest of the location were all those larger open spaces. Oftentimes music videos are done in one day. So you have to get a large visual variety in a 12-hour period, and that includes load in and load out. So effectively you're limited to, you know, 9 to 10 hours of shooting. And what my DP pushed me to do was try to spread the budget out over 2 days so that we could spend more time on the story. We really spent about 80% of the video doing the story shots, which is not how you should do a music video. We did the story first for the whole first day, most of the second day, and then we rushed and crammed in all of the performances. And luckily, it worked out.
And before turning it back over to Cher, can you just tell us about how it was creating a COVID-safe production for this video, how it was preparing production in pandemic times?
Yeah, I'm sure it's a surprise to nobody when I say that shooting film in the time of COVID is a very precarious endeavor. You are ultimately taking a bunch of people who are normally not in contact with each other, bringing them together in one shared space for a condensed period of time, which will always last longer than 15 minutes. And so you're going to be sharing air. You're going to be sharing contact with things. You can take all the precautions you want, and it's still going to happen. A new position has arisen in the time of COVID, which is called the CCO, the COVID Compliance Officer. And they're in charge of really focusing on establishing those ground rules, taking everyone's temperature in the morning, and doing all of that stuff. When you have a very, very small crew, such as ours, which is less than 10 when we included talent as well, and you have a very limited budget, we didn't have the opportunity to bring on a COVID safety officer, because you can't bring one on for free. You have to pay for it, and it's expensive. So what we decided to do instead of that was, we didn't try to pretend that I would be the COVID safety officer and directing, as if that's not a total, you know, contradiction of priorities. But what we did do is we made sure that everyone got tested before, made sure that everyone after they got tested were isolated. And then on set, people were mandated to wear masks, with the exception of talent, because you can't get around that. And, you know, we took everyone's temperature. We were cautious when it came to sharing spaces for meals. We all spread out. There's a variety of precautions that have become standard in film that you can take. But again, ultimately, it is still an inherently risky pursuit. And at one point, we considered pulling the plug on the whole thing. We were talking about shooting this before the holiday break, in late November and early December. And then we were planning to shoot it right after the new year, which, as we all remember, was a pretty rough time for COVID. And so with cases spiking in LA especially, we were talking about, should we push production? If we push, will we get it out in time? Because there were other deadlines we had to meet. We talked about it for a while, and we ultimately decided to talk to everyone and see how they felt. Everyone felt on board. And so if all parties are on board and we're taking all the precautions that we can, we decided to go for it. It's not about risk elimination. It's about risk mitigation. All we can do is mitigate risk as much as possible, make sure that people feel comfortable, and also feel comfortable to speak up if they don't feel comfortable.
Well, the outcome is amazing. The music video is really thrilling, and Zuzu, you did an incredible job acting in it. What was it like performing in those scenes?
It was fun. Like, it was probably the most fun I've had all of COVID. It's the truth. It's funny because over the summer, I started watching Hannibal, the TV series. I got so into how that show was shot. I've never cared about that stuff. And for whatever reason, I was just, the cinematography, the acting, it made me want to act. Like, it made me want to, like, bring something more to the table. Like, I have a lot of emotion, obviously, when I sing. Like, I don't hold that back. And in that medium, I definitely know what I'm doing. I had to trust Sam 150%. And I already did going in, only because, like I said earlier, you know, his vision was clear. He wanted to honor anything that I didn't want to do. He asked me specifically those questions. And I knew that if I didn't get involved in trying to control the outcome, because sometimes you know, as the artist, I want it to be, I want a little more input, you know. And then I realized, like, I don't have to do that this time. Like, it's going to be fine. Like, just let this person direct you. And I've never been directed like that ever. So I know I have, like, the feelings and emotions to pull up. Whether or not he could pull that out of me, I didn't know. But and if I felt safe enough.
Yeah, the results are amazing, for sure.
The opening shot is actually the first shot I was in, you know, that it was that order. And I was like, you know, I was like, I'll lay on the floor. Like, that's what I do. You know, I do all that stuff. So laying on the floor, I just remember him saying at one point, like, your eyes don't look open. And I was thinking to myself, like, I don't know what else to do. Like, that was the only moment. And that was like the very first part of the shoot where I was just kind of like, I don't know how to make my eyes more open. And I kind of mentally panicked for a minute. And then I was like, all right, I'm just going to do what I know how to do. But it was kind of really nice to be directed. I saw they had a vision. I saw them working together. I saw them talking. And what I noticed right away was how strongly he held to what he knew. Like, he didn't settle. And once I saw that, which was pretty early on, I was like, whatever he asked me to do, I'm going to do it. And for whatever reason, I was able to turn off that second voice that's like, oh, you're doing it wrong, or you're not very good. You know, that can happen for me during a live show. That's a compliment to his directing. He had me in that moment. I wasn't thinking about the next thing. That wasn't my job. I just had to do what he asked me to do. That was fun.
Yeah, and it came out so well, you could tell. You know, you're really expressive when you play live music, but seeing this video, it was just such a thrilling story. You know, you guys work together so well. What was your favorite scene to shoot? Because there were so many good ones.
Honestly, my favorite scene was on day two, the very first scene we shot. They like laid me down on the side. I don't know what you guys were doing that whole time, Sam. Like, I guess you were angling, figuring out how you were shooting it. I was shooting the middle set, like the bridge section I call it the escape section, like where she finds the piece of glass and she breaks out. The directing in that was so good. And I really wanted to freak out on him. Like, I just was like, like, I couldn't contain like my anxiety and the nervousness, because he would just be like, he's at the walkway. Is he there? Is he there? And it was constant. And even like how he emoted it was panicking me. That was absolutely my favorite scene, because I got to just be like a lunatic. Like, I'm trying to escape. And I could feel that like my life is at stake. Like, that's the only time. And believe me, there were box cutters on my face. Like, there were plenty of times for me to feel like really panicked. I did not feel panicked, like, except for that part. It was awesome.
It came out so good. It came out so good. It was honestly just like so thrilling the entire time. How did you feel once you first saw the music video in its final form? And now that it's out, how has it been received?
When I first saw it, I was blown away. On the way back, I was like texting people and calling people like, wait, do you see this video? Because I already knew. I didn't need to see anything. Like, I knew how it felt. I knew it was going to be amazing. I would call my label. I'm like, where do you see this video? Where do you see this video? And then I was like, boy, I hope the video is really good, because I felt like it did good. But he sent me that first edit and I was already blown away. And I was like, this is what I've wanted forever. And I finally got it. And I feel like that song and Soraya deserves that. The very first day it debuted, even the PR guy, Mike Cabillos, he was like, listen, what do you want this in? Do you want this in Billboard? Do you want this in? I was like, whoa, like, wait a second. Because these weren't kind of like the magazines we were talking about before, you know. Just with the videos before it, he had never gone to that level. And I was like, you like the video? And he's like, we can get whatever you want with this. And I said, all right, I want these two. And we did get one of the two that I wanted. And then Billboard, I was really happy with too. But I knew, like, I wanted engagement. I wanted people to see this video. I wanted people to see the video. Because I knew if they saw the video, anything else that I wanted from it was going to happen. But as a piece of art, you know, I thought it needs to be seen. And the reception, I'm getting a lot of texts and messages from females, honestly, about just asking, you know, what it was about, or like, they're like, you don't understand what that did for me. And why I get like really emotional, because it was just the story for me. You know what I mean? People have been responding with a lot of emotion, and even people that just love the video are like, wow. Like, I get a lot of wows and like, holy shits, like kind of things like that. But the people that like go in depth and are just like Shannon, when she sent that and she was teary eyed, I was like, that's affecting the soul. And that's powerful. So I think it's going to have legs for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely a video that you want to rewatch over and over and over again, you know, just to like capture that thrill. Like, oh, like there's always something new to like visually see and decipher. And this song is a repeat worthy song. So it's easy to just keep pressing play on YouTube. It's so, so good. Sam, what do you have coming up? Do you have any other things that we can look forward to seeing? Is there any work coming out?
As it turns out, yeah. So when Ashley first talked to me about Soraya and mentioned that they might have a new song coming out, it was on the trip back from the Sequoias, where she and I had been working on my latest short film called The Offer, which is a short film about two sisters that go camping in the mountains for the last time before one of them decides if they're going to accept this mysterious offer that would mean leaving and never seeing each other again. It's a drama, it's a sci-fi, and it's something that I'm very, very excited about. I've been working on for a couple years now. And finally, it's about to be finished with its VFX, possibly today. I just found out in a phone call right before this. We'll see though. We do have a festival premiere coming up. That'll be for later in March. And it's going to be continuing its festival run over the course of the next year. But in the next few days, I'll be releasing a trailer for it, which I'm really excited to share. I don't get to make short films as often as I would like to. It's been a few years since my last one, so I'm very excited to share this one.
That's awesome. Send us any links or anything and we'll post it with this and okay, we'll great. Make sure people see it. Yeah, for sure. And then Zuzu, do you want to end this interview by talking about anything that Soraya has coming up that you want your fans to know about?
Yeah, I mean, we're working on new music right now. We're trying to get in before summer so we can have another single come out by the fall. That's kind of been a priority for us, just writing. Tour dates in the fall. Hopefully they, definitely the late fall should happen. And we still have our summer tour dates too. So just that really. And like I said, you know, that's it.
Okay, perfect. Thank you guys so much. It was so great to talk to all of you. The video is amazing. And I can't wait till like everyone sees and hears this podcast because there's so many people that just by seeing the music video will love it. And I know a lot more people will want to deep dive into all the creativity that went into it and behind it. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Cher. It was really good.
Nice to meet you guys. Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you check out Soraya's new music video for Tight-Lipped. You can stream Tight-Lipped on all of your favorite platforms. Thank you so much to Sam. We look forward to keeping up with your new work. Thank you to Shannon and Zuzu. Join me again next week with Zuzu as we talk to the cinematographer of the Tight-Lipped music video, Ryan Spicone.